لفتى إلا علي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي، علي إمامي.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا، ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: علي خير البشر، فمن أبى فقد كفر. صلوات. Congratulations and tabriek to all the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, specifically and khususan the seal of all the messengers, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Upon the arrival of his wasi and khalifa, who is the most superior of all the awsiya. And tabriq and congratulations to all the a'imma alayhim as-salam, specifically to the imam of our time, Waliyul Asr Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan Al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam, wa ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. Upon the birth and milad of his great grandfather, who is the leader of all the imams. And congratulations to all the maraji, may Allah protect all of them, specifically Samahatul Wali al-Faqih Hafizahullah, the Islamic leader. And congratulations to all the mu'mineen and mu'minat and the entire ummah, specifically all of you respectable brothers and sisters, Samaat Hujjat Islam wal Muslimin, Sheikh Hur Shabiri Hafizahullah, resident alim, and all of you muhtaram brothers and sisters on this great occasion, the milad of Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. The history says that Hazrat Fatima bint Asad salamullah alayhima as it is narrated in Manaqib of Ibn Shahr Ashub, which is one of our mother books of Manaqib and the superior attributes of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. This is the narration from Hazrat Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, where he says that he saw Hazrat Fatima bint Asad salamullah alayhima coming to the Kaaba doing the tawaf, and after she was done with the tawaf, she came and rested her back on the place which later, you know, ripped apart and miraculously opened up for her. So she rested her back on the wall of the Kaaba and said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the sake of Ibrahim, the founder of the Holy Kaaba, for the sake of Ibrahim, she said, and for the sake of this baby, that means the child which is in her womb, make this easy for me. And as soon as she did her dua, the wall of the Kaaba opened up and she went inside the Kaaba. And nobody knows what is inside, because there wasn't anyone present other than her. And we find that on the fourth day, and in some of the narrations on the third day, Muhaddis Qummi says fourth day, she comes out of the Holy Kaaba, and when the Holy Prophet arrived, and she delivers Imam Ali alayhi salam into the lap of the messenger for whom he is serving as the wasi and khalifa. This narration itself is an evidence and a burhan, an unshakable, you know, there's a difference in Islamic philosophy between dalil and burhan, isn't it right? So when we use the word burhan, it means that, you know, that this is something which is unshakable, you know, and it has dawam and thubut. So this is something which is unshakable evidence that Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam is definitely ma'suma, tahira, and somebody who is tayyib and tahir, and that's the reason why she is permitted to come inside the holiest place and the holiest masjid on the planet at the time of the birth, when we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow Hazrat Maryam to come at the time of her delivery of Hazrat Isa to come into the house of worship. So this is not only a dalil and burhan for the azamat and greatness of Hazrat Fatima bint Asad, but instead, in addition to that, it is a burhan about the azamat of this personality who is the second most superior human Allah created. And we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam opens up his eyes in the lap of the Holy Prophet. The first thing he saw was the face, the Mubarak face of Rasulullah, and that's where he started to recite from the previous revealed books on the previous messengers, and finally started to read the verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun from the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran was never revealed on the Holy Prophet at that time, isn't it right? The revelation started, we are talking about 30th Amul Fil, isn't it right? That's way before the Ba'sat, when Prophet was officially commanded by Allah to start his propagation. So on 27th of Rajab, the Ba'sat of Rasulullah, that's where the revelation started in Islamic history. So this is another burhan that Imam Ali alayhi salam is born with the ilmul kitab, the knowledge, the knowledge of the entire book of Allah from the day one of his existence. He is reading the verses of Holy Quran before the Quran was revealed officially after the Ba'sat, starting from the day of Ba'sat on the qalb of Rasulullah. So the subject of tonight's speech, as you may know, was the multi-dimensional personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And that's what I want to talk about. We keep on hearing about the historical references and the historical narrations, but what we less hear about are these things that I would like to mention tonight. So please bear with me, and as I mentioned, some of those aspects of the some of the greatest aspects, although every aspect of his personality is equally greatest, some of those greatest aspects of the personality of the Imam. The first thing is that giving importance to the izzat and sharaf. Imam Ali alayhi salam is a person who gives the first priority to maintaining the izzat and the sharaf, which is based in Islam, based on the iman of a person. So we find that on the occasion of Siffin, these are very important tips, brothers and sisters, to apply on the, as an applied science on our lifestyle, on daily the daily routine that we are following. So we find in the Battle of Siffin, Muawiyah sends his 85,000 soldiers and they take their places and grab control of the river Furat, Euphrates. Imam Ali is still in Kufa. And Muawiyah has started sending his army, and the army takes his positions already. And 40,000 soldiers commanded by Abul A'war al-Aslami are now controlling the river Furat. The news arrives, Imam Ali alayhi salam. Look at the concept of izzat in the eyes of Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is Ali ibn Abi Talib that we are celebrating his highness and azamat. So we find Imam Ali alayhi salam sent Sa'sa ibn Sawhan, because he never used to start the battle without Itmam al-Hujjat, fulfilling the evidence. So he sent Sa'sa ibn Sawhan to do the nasihat. And Sa'sa went as an envoy to Muawiyah, and Imam Ali's message was delivered. And Sa'sa said to him that by putting a ban on the water of Furat, you have already started the battle. See, the act of sanctions is, as a matter of fact, an act of war. When one nation starts sanction on the other, this is already a war. The war has already started. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, these are very important issues, brothers and sisters, so we understand what is going on today in the light of what happened in the past. And you can apply it successfully to follow the footsteps on the path of the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which is a living issue till the day of judgment. The most relevant issue of the humankind even today is the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam and our behavior towards this concept of walayat. That's the most relevant issue of the planet. So we find Sa'sa did his nasihat on behalf of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Muawiyah did not listen. You know, Amr ibn As was not ready to put a ban. He advised otherwise. Muawiyah still did not listen to him. And the ban continued. That's where Imam Ali alayhi salam said his statement, which our scholars say is one of the deepest statements for a mu'min to think of. And Imam Ali alayhi salam says, فَالْمَوْتُ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ مَقْهُورِينَ وَالْحَيَاتُ فِي مَوْتِكُمْ قَاهِرِينَ This is Imam Ali alayhi salam. If you guys fail to perform your fariza towards Allah, in other words, and you tolerate a life of zillat and humiliation in front of what has happened, then you are living deads in your lifetime. And if you come forward and perform your fariza and duty, and you care about protecting your izzat, not protecting your life, even if you end up dying for the sake of Allah, you are the ones who are, you know, qahir and ghalib and overwhelming over the enemy. So this is how Imam Ali alayhi salam cares about performing our fariza, so we can protect our izzat in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the society where we are living. This, right now we find the Muslim community is the most insulted community on the planet.
Every now and then you turn on to the news and the websites and the media outlets, you find a bunch of Muslims have been killed and maimed and jailed and tortured and so on and so forth. Isn't it right? So we are the most insulted because this is what is missing in our communities. Policy number two of Imam Ali alayhi salam that we need to keep into take into consideration before as we are celebrating. So we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam is the person who gives the first preference to his hadaf. The first preference of his life is to protect the hadaf and goal. Everything of the life can be sacrificed for the sake of the hadaf. When it comes to the hadaf and the goal, hadaf cannot be sacrificed for nothing else. This is how Imam Ali alayhi salam. So in the Battle of Siffin, you find in the middle of the battle, Imam Ali alayhi salam stops the battle. The fighting is taking place in some of the nights, Laylatul Harir, as it is commonly known in the history, the night was very cold and there was a very severe battle taking place in that night, which we call Laylatul Harir in the history. After the severe battle, we find in one of the days, Imam Ali alayhi salam just halts the battle. People start talking back, you know. Ali ibn Abi Talib doesn't know politics. Some people said, na'uzu billah, he's a coward. Some people said, Ali is unsure about what he was supposed to do in this battle. He has shak and tardid, unsure. All these statements came to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he said that neither is the matter of shak, nor is the matter of, in other words, nor is the matter of cowardice, of scare, in other words. He says that on the day of Khaybar, when the Prophet gave me the alam, Prophet said to me, لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِمَّا طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ. If Allah guides through you one human, one person, that is better for you than all upon which the sun shines. That means the entire earth, everything which is available around us. So Imam Ali salam is halting the battle. Why? So the hadaf and goal and purpose of why in the world are we here to fight against Muawiyah can be protected. Why are we fighting? We are fighting to spread the hidayat and guidance towards Allah. This is why we are fighting. Isn't it right? We are not fighting to shed the blood. We don't care about what the people say. The person is a coward. We don't care about what the people say. Isn't it right? He cares about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants maybe in the zulmat of the camp of Muawiyah, there are some who end up looking at the noor of hidayat and guidance of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So this is Imam Ali alayhi salam, how much importance he gives to his hadaf and goal. He says to his son, Ya Buniyya, inna abaka la yubali waqa'a ala al-maut aw waqa'a al-maut alayya. My son, definitely your dad does not care about whether he falls upon the death or death falls upon him. You know, it is narrated that Imam Ali alayhi salam, that zirah, the body armor he used to wear, was only one-sided, isn't it right? Didn't have any armor, any steel case behind on his back. So this is how Imam Ali alayhi salam, he doesn't care. What he cares about Allah is the hadaf and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how we are supposed to take a lesson. Imam Ali alayhi salam is warning those people who are running away from the fariza and duty. For whatever reason, we may be escaping our fariza and duty. We have, we have lots of attachment with the interests of this dunya, or we have our interests, or some people have relations with the taghuts. Some people have very friendly ties behind the scenes with the enemies of kufr. Isn't it right? Whatever be the reason, Imam Ali alayhi salam is teaching us not to be scared from the death. So we find he delivers this sermon after this Laylatul Harir, when on the occasion of Siffin, The Battle of Siffin, we find Imam Ali al-Salam in the Battle of Siffin at that occasion delivers the sermon and says to his companions, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ بِعَيْنِ اللَّهِ.
Know that you are under the supervision of Allah.
وَمَعَ إِبْنِ عَمِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ.
And you are along with the son of the uncle of Messenger of Allah. That means Imam Ali al-Salam. You are with the cousin of Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah.
فَعَوِدُوا الْكَرْ. Return back. That means go back to the battlefield. وَاسْتَحْيُوا مِنَ الْفَرْ. And be, have haya.
Have the, you know, have the sharm and haya towards running away. Running away from the battlefield, as you know, is a bigger sin in Islam, an insult of the religion Islam.
So, فَإِنَّهُ, then he says, فَإِنَّهُ عَارٌ فِي الْأَعْقَابِ وَنَارٌ يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ.
Running away from the battlefield is an embarrassment, it's an insult in the lineage. Throughout the lineage of the person, your nasl will feel the embarrassment that we are the children of that kind of ancestor who ran away from the battlefield. So it's a matter of insult and humiliation for the lineage, and it's the fire on the day of accountability.
So this is how Imam Ali alayhi salam is encouraging his people to stay the course.
Wahdat. Another dimension of his personality is protecting the wahdat and unity in the ranks of the mainstream community. He is the one who did, who stood for maintaining the wahdat and unity more than any other human being. And he says in his statement, إِلْزَمُوا السَّوَادَ الْأَعْظَمِ
فَإِنَّ يَدَ اللَّهِ مَعَ الْجَمَاعِ.
That means stick with the gathering, the mainstream community, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand is with the mainstream community. 25 years his right was taken away, haqq of khilafat. He stayed with the community. Isn't it right? 70 times Hazrat Umar had said, لَوْلَا عَلِيٌّ لَهَلَكَ عُمَرٌ. If Ali was not there, Umar would have been devastated. So Imam Ali was there in the scene, in the arena. He did not quit. Just because his right was taken away, that doesn't mean that he's going to quit the mainstream community. He did not quit. He was there to help for the sake of Islam. So Umar had to say 70 times, if Ali was not there, we would have been devastated. Isn't that right? This is a lesson of wahdat. Ittihad bain al-Muslimin is a policy of Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhim as-salatu wasalam. Prove to me from any history that for those 25 years, Imam Ali alayhi salam had started praying his 5-time prayers inside his own house and abandoned the Masjid of Medina. Prove to me from any history. Isn't it right? Imam Ali stayed with the mainstream community. He says, إِلْزَمُوا السَّوَادَ الْأَعْظَمُ فَإِنَّ يَدَ اللَّهِ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الْفُرْقَةِ. And keep away from division. فَإِنَّ الشَّازَّ مِنَ النَّاسِ لِلشَّيْطَانِ كَمَا أَنَّ الشَّازَّ مِنَ الْغَنَمِ لِلزِّئْبِ. The person who separates away from the mainstream is a prey of shaitan, is for shaitan, just like the sheep that separates away from the herd is for the wolf. And then Imam Ali says a statement which really shakes the conscience of a person. If you look at what Imam Ali is saying, we realize how big of a deal it is in his eyes for those people who are causing disunity in the community. How much important it is in Islam to maintain the unity, and how big of a crime in the eyes of Imam Ali, whether it is in the eyes of some of the Muslims or not, but in the eyes of Imam Ali, definitely is that big of a crime. When he says that Allah woman man da'a ila hadha ash-shi'ar faqtuluhu walau kana tahta imamati hadhihi. Anyone who calls you towards this slogan, that means slogan of disunity, anyone that calls you towards this slogan, kill him, even though that person is under my imama. Who is under the imam of Imam Ali? Imam Ali himself. Can you imagine the highness of that statement? Imam Ali is asking the people to kill any person that calls toward disunity, even though that person is under my imama.
Nahjul Balagha.
Unless if you end up saying Nahjul Balagha is not authentic.
This is the importance of Ittihad Bain al-Muslimin. And we find there are people who are ready to violate and trample upon the ahdaf that even our maraji, hafizahumullah, our Islamic leadership has been emphasizing, but they are following their own cultures and traditions of their grandmother and grandfather. Isn't it right? They're not ready to adjust their cultures and customs according to the values of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, although it may cause disunity, which in the eyes of Imam Ali al-Islam, in some of the cases, deserves the person to get killed. The jaza of that person in some of the mawarid is qatl in the eyes of Nahjul Balagha.
This is the third important thing and third important dimension of his great personality. Whenever an Islamic Republic is formed, let's be realistic. There will be munafiqeen all the time. There will be zidda inqilab people, mudaddin lithawra, isn't it right? Anti-revolutionaries. There will be kuffar and mushrikeen supporting those munafiqeen from behind the scenes.
It's nothing new that you are witnessing today, except it may be new for those who are jahil and unaware about the history of Islam. For them it may be new. Isn't it right? That's exactly. History is repeating itself by the change of characters. So we find that in the time of Imam Ali al-Islam,
so there will be always people spreading false, fabricated informations, disinformations in the community. Isn't it right to rally their campaign and run their agenda and decentralize the leadership of Imam Ali al-Islam? And their similar agendas are being executed even today, decentralizing the leadership of Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam's deputy. Look at how Imam Ali deals with those kinds of disinformation spreading of the lies and fabrications and batil.
You know, so you never find batil is going to come in the way, in the form of batil. That doesn't happen. They're not silly. They will always clad the batil in the libas, in the form, in the garment of haq, and present it in a very nice presentation. They say the presentation has to be better than the content. Isn't it right? You first look at the wrapper of the candy before looking at the candy itself. The wrapper has to be attractive for you to even to buy it, or to even consider it. Isn't it right?
So Imam Ali al-Salam is how he is teaching us to be aware of these disinformations. Imam Ali al-Salam, so we find that lots and lots of people were there spreading batil and false information about Imam Ali al-Salam and other stuff. Imam Ali al-Salam said, Al-batil an taqula sami'tu. وَالْحَقْ أَن تَقُولَ رَأَيْتُ. This is a yardstick. That's the rule of the thumb in our hands. When we believe in Imam Ali al-Salam, Imam Ali says,
Batil is that you say, I heard. And haq is that you say, I saw. That means unless and until we see something happening with our own eyes, we are not supposed to, you know, rely upon the news flowing and the flowing of all those disinformations which are always more than the informations. And it's the same case even today that we find the disinformation is way more than the information. Isn't it right?
Internet is a more of a disinformation superhighway. So we find that Imam Ali al-Salatu wasalam, his zuhd. Zuhd in Islam means keeping away from getting into this world and its attachment of dunya. So when he talks about Rasulullah, he talks about several messengers like Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. I wish I had time to mention all that, but I will just mention what he says about our beloved Prophet, talking about his zuhd. Prophet Imam Ali says about the Holy Prophet that, in other words, one of his wives had hung a curtain which had a picture on it. Nice looking picture on a curtain, in other words. So when the Prophet came to his house and he had a look at the curtain that was hung by one of his wives with the picture on it, Prophet said, Imam Ali narrates, Prophet said to his wife, غَيِّبِهِ عَنِّي, hide that from me. That means hide that curtain away from my eyes. فَإِنِّي إِذَا نَظَرْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذَكَرْتُ الدُّنْيَا وَزَخَارِفَهَا.
Because if I have a look at this, I would recall dunya and its glitter and glamour. This is the Zuhd of Rasulullah, which is an icon for us and a role model. He's not even ready to have a look at the glitter of this world. You know, so forget about a person getting entrapped into the dunya and its deceptions of shaitan. He's not even ready to even look at this dunya. Dunya was presented to in front of the Prophet. He never looked at it. Akhirat was presented in front of the Prophet. He didn't bother to look at Akhirat because Prophet is the one who said that ad-dunya haramun ala ahli al-akhirah wal akhiratu haramun ala ahli al-dunya wa huma haramani ala ahli Allah. Dunya is haram on those who belong to Akhirat and Akhirat is haram on those who belong to dunya and both of them are haram on those who belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the Zuhd of Rasulullah. So we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam is mentioning his ma'rifat, the way he recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's another great dimension of his personality, his ma'rifat of Allah. Several times it happened in the life of Imam Ali when he made the city of Kufa at the capital of his Islamic government. Several times it happened that he made this claim and the statement, Saluni qabla an tafqiduni, ask me before you miss me. Several times, not once. And we have so many occasions where so many people have been asking questions for Imam Ali alayhi salam. And one of the occasions, Zi'lab al-Yamani was an insultive guy, a demeaning person. And he said to a bunch of people that, you know, Ali had made such a big claim and put himself in a dangerous spot. So today I'm going to ask a question to make him humiliated in front of the gathering. So he went and in front of the gathering, he posed this question to Imam Ali al-Salam, have you seen your Lord? And Imam Ali alayhi salam replies back, Lam a'bud rabban lam arahu. I haven't worshipped a Lord that I did not see. And then he explains, Lam tarahu al-uyun bimushahadati al-ayan bal ra'atuhu awalakin wa tardid minni ra'atuhu al-qulubu bihaqa'iq al-iman. It's not the physical eyes, in other words, that see Allah, that witness Allah. It's the you know, a person sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the realities of his iman and faith. So it's the vision of the iman that sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It never happened that Imam Ali worshipped a Lord that he did not see. That means he saw and then he worshipped. And when Anas bin Malik posed the question to Imam Ali alayhi salam, you know, how many hair do I have in my head? Imam Ali alayhi salam replies that, you know, Rasulullah has informed me that I can tell the how many hair do you have, and I can tell that on the every hair of your head there is an angel sitting which is sending la'nat upon you, and on the, every hair of your beard there is a shaitan sitting which is deceiving you. This is how Imam Ali alayhi salam was so firm and so decisive about dealing those elements and factors in the society who are causing disruption intentionally. This is how he was dealing. So we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, when in the Battle of Siffin, the event of Hakaman, as we usually call it in the history, happened, and Khawarij broke apart from Imam Ali alayhi salam. And they started to call Muawiyah to be kafir and Imam Ali to be kafir, God forbid. And obviously it all started when Amr ibn As, the advisor of Muawiyah, raised Quran on the spearheads, fooling the people, the simple-minded ones, which are the best, you know, best soldiers of shaitan. And he succeeded in that. Simple-minded people on the side of Imam Ali alayhi salam, who later became Khawarij, got fooled, and they said to Imam Ali Islam, you're not going to fight against Quran. See, these people, they have Quran. Imam Ali Islam himself is the living and walking and talking Quran. Isn't it right? And this was a deception that they are raising Quran. And not just deception, it's also an insult, raising Quran over the spearheads. But they are simple-minded people. And there are so many even today. Isn't it right? One of the reasons why the Islamic cause today is not advancing, one of the major reasons why Islamic cause is not advancing today, is because abundance of silly-minded people around in the Islamic Ummah, who are ready to be fooled every now and then by kuffar and mushrikeen and end up becoming tools of shaitan for his agendas. So Imam Ali al-Islam, at that occasion, he said that, obviously people said, see, Muawiyah is so intelligent. He raised the Quran upon the advice of Umar ibn As, and he raised the Quran over the spears. Finally, he divided the army of Imam Ali al-Islam into two pieces. Bunch of Khawarij were separated. Imam Ali's army was lessened in number. So he had a better diplomacy. He knows how to do siyasat and diplomacy. The news comes to Imam Ali al-Islam. And look at what Imam Ali says. He says, Wallahi ma Muawiyah bi adha minni. I swear to Allah, Muawiyah does not know politics better than me. And he says that وَلَكِنَّهُ يَقْدِرُ وَيَفْجُرُ. Instead, he deceives and performs haram, fujur. وَلَوْلَا كَرَهِيَّةُ الْغَدْرِ لَكُنْتُ مِنْ أَدْهَى النَّاسِ. Had it not been that deception, that means deceiving in the eyes of Allah, is something disliked, I would have been the most diplomatic person among the humanity. I can do diplomacy and politics better than any other human beings. This is how Imam Ali al-Islam, but this is how we need to understand that he is here to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot just go and do whatsoever Muawiyah can end up doing in the name of national interest of his empire. Isn't it right? This is what exactly is done today. You find there are so many the same Al-Qaeda people, isn't it right, who have been funded and created by the same people, are now supported by the same people. Yesterday Al-Qaeda was a terrorist, and today the same Al-Qaeda have been used in Libya and in Syria. Isn't it right? Are they no longer terrorists? We are the ones who used to call them terrorists before anybody else could call them. Isn't it right? So this is how we find that the national interests play the role without any morality in diplomacy. So this is the difference between Islamic diplomacy and any other diplomacy, where we find Islamic diplomacy is entirely based on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we are accountable before Him. So we find that the next dimension of his personality, he found two of his companions, Hujr ibn Adi, rahmatullahi alayh, very great companion, and Amr ibn Humq. These two companions, Imam Ali al-Islam, were using abusive language for Muawiyah and his people. Imam Ali got this information, this news, and Imam Ali said to them, Imam Ali stopped them from using. There are people who use abusive language, bad-mouthing, especially in our Shia community also, we find this policy existing in some people. Let's adjust our policy with the Mizanul A'mal. Didn't the Rasul Prophet say to Imam Ali al-Islam, Anta Mizanul A'mal, you are the Mizan and Tarazu and yardstick and the criteria of the action. That means every single action of every human in the earlier and later generations of humanity will be judged through the behavior of Imam Ali al-Islam. Isn't it right? So do we have a right to exercise the policy of our grandmother? Just because my grandmother used to do it and I like it. We like what Imam Ali al-Islam did. Isn't it right? Because we are the followers of the walayat of Ali, and that's our identity. First of all and last of all. So we look at what Imam Ali said to Sa'sa, to Hujr ibn Adi and Abdullah ibn Humq, two of his great companions. Imam Ali says to him, when he finds that these people are bad-mouthing Muawiyah. Muawiyah deserves, isn't it right? Muawiyah cannot be defended, isn't it right? But we are not here in the teachings of Islam and Ahlul Bayt to have our mouth tainted with bad-mouthing. We are here to stand with the high levels of Islamic morality. They deserve. But are we supposed to do that? That's the question. There's no question that they whether that person deserves or not. Yeah, that person deserves it. But are we supposed to do this? That's the question. So Imam Ali al-Islam said to his two companions, "Inni akrah lakum an takunu sababin." That's another very major issue. You find some of our orators from India and Pakistan specifically, and some of them from Iraq. Their speeches from YouTube have been long exploited by the kuffar and the Wahhabi terrorists to kill the Shias and to target the Shias and to victimize the Shias. Isn't it right? But we find there are Islamic centers and organizations, even in the United States of America, who continue to invite the same types of orators to the Islamic centers in the name of love of Ahlul Bayt. Let us see what Imam Ali has to say about that. To whom? To Hujr ibn Adi rahmatullahi alayhi and Amr ibn Humq. Inni akrah lakum.
Imam Ali says, Inni akrah lakum. Nahj al-Balagha. Again, unless if you have to deny the Nahj al-Balagha's authenticity, you have no way to escape. That this is the mawqif of Imam Ali al-Islam. No Shia can say Nahj al-Balagha is no longer mu'tabar and authentic just because my customs and traditions are hurt.
Isn't it right? We don't care about the customs and traditions. We care about Imam Ali al-Islam. So Imam Ali says in Nahj al-Balagha, Inni akrah lakum an takunu sababin.
I dislike for you to become bad mouthers. You have to talk sub and shatam and abusive language in your mouth. And then he says, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ لَوْ وَصَفْتُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ.
Instead, if you were there, if you were mentioning their deeds,
وَذَكَرْتُمْ حَالَهُمْ,
and talking about, mentioning about their situation,
كَانَ أَصْوَبَ fil qawl wa ablagha fil uzr, that was more correct in the statement. So you would have been, in other words, mentioning about what they are doing. That's the right way. You know, let the judgment of haq and batil be left to the audience. Let them decide. Let their conscience be the judge. You're not here to, you know, to use the bad mouthing policy. Quran has already said, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Don't badmouth those who are calling a ma'bud, a lord other than Allah, so they end up badmouthing Allah. Isn't it right? That's there in the Holy Quran, this ayat. So we find that this is how we are supposed to behave. Now the next thing which is very important for us is that being prepared and ready and alert about the satanic policies of the enemies of Islam before we are inflicted with the harm. So we find Muawiyah sent bunch of his spies to the city of Makkah, and Qusam ibn Abbas, who is the brother of Abdullah ibn Abbas, is the governor of Makkah on behalf of Imam Ali al-Islam. And Imam Ali sends a letter to Qusam ibn Abbas. How Imam Ali is alerting him. Muawiyah is sending a bunch of people, his spies, to spread lies against the government of Imam Ali Islam, to run a campaign and a rebellion against the government of Imam Ali. Again, this is what you see happening today in Syria.
Isn't it right?
It's nothing new.
It's new for those who don't know the history. Isn't it? This has been done in the past. What are we supposed to, what are the Muslim Ummah supposed to do ahead of time in these situations? Let us learn from the personality of Imam Ali al-Islam as we are celebrating his birthday. That's the best occasion to learn his mawqif and policy so we correct ourselves.
Imam Ali sends his message to Qusam ibn Abbas and says to him, وَلَا تَكُنْ عِنْدَ النَّعْمَاءِ بَطِرًا وَلَا عِنْدَ الْبَأْسَاءِ فَشِرًا.
Don't be a person who is rejoicing at the time of blessing their ni'mat. You know, when the ni'mats of Allah are abundant, coming in our way, we don't care about alerting ourselves, you know, protecting our defenses, and maintaining and doing what it takes to be done to protect ourselves.
We are just rejoicing, pleasuring, enjoying our life in the blessings. Isn't it right? Allah brought me from Pakistan to America. I don't care about what Sipahi Yazid is doing to us, the fellow Shia people in Pakistan.
You know, for innocent civilians.
Let me just rejoice with the blessings and the money in the wealth. Isn't it right? That's how some people are doing. So we find that Imam Ali sends his message to Qusam ibn Abbas, don't be the one who rejoices, who is maghroor and deceived, in other words, deceived, that's what he said, in the blessing, in the time of the blessing, wala indal ba'sa'i fashiran, nor the one who, when the hard time arrives, he acts like lazy. So we find that Imam Ali Rasulatu Wassalam is also appreciating his great companions. This is also another mawqif, another lesson to learn. Those who are steadfast on the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, doing great services, they need to be appreciated. They need to be supported and assisted. Like whom? Like Sahal ibn Hunayf. Sahal ibn Hunayf is not an ordinary person. He is the governor on behalf of Imam Ali alayhi salam in the city of Medina. Sahal ibn Hunayf, when he dies, Imam Ali gave this remark, لَوْ أَحَبَّنِي جَبَلٌ لَتَهَافَتْ. If a mountain ends up loving me, it would be dispersed into pieces. In other words, mountain would shatter if it loves me. So in other words, there's no surprise if Sahal ibn Hunayf passes away. He was so steadfast on the love of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali loved him a lot, liked him, respected him. And this is shown by his policy. When he died, Imam Ali, he recited 25 takbirat over the janazah of Sahal ibn Hunayf. That means he recited the Salatul Mayyit 5 times. It's not allowed in Islam to repeat the Salatul Mayyit on any person. You just say it once. Except if a person belongs to one of the extraordinary personalities of Islam. Just like Hazrat Hamza, whom Prophet called him Sayyidul Shuhada in those days. And Prophet recited 75 takbirat over the janazah of Sayyid Hazrat Hamza alayhi salatu wasalam. So Imam Ali is reciting 25 takbirat on Sahal ibn Hunayf, and he says, if I recited 70, he deserves it. This is Sahal ibn Hunayf. So we need to also appreciate those of the people who are serving the walayat. They need to be, if I am a coward, isn't it right? If I am a coward, then at least I should have the guts to appreciate those who are not coward and doing the job better than me. Instead of pulling the leg, and instead of talking bad against those who are serving, well, I'm not doing even that much. Then there are some people who are neither themselves doing the service towards the walayat, but also they have 1,001 objections ready to be furnished for those who are serving and for the Islamic leadership specifically. Because talk is the cheapest thing around, doesn't cost you no money. We find the adl and justice of Imam Ali alayhi salam. That's another great, great dimension. Although every dimension of his is equally great. So Munzir ibn Jarud is a governor of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He does corruption in the national treasury, Baitul Mal, and starts feeding his own relatives from the money of the national treasury. Imam Ali had his own spies assigned. We have rulings in Islam about espionage. And when the news reaches Imam Ali alayhi salam in Kufa, his capital, look at the letter that he immediately has sent to Munzir al-Jarud in Nahj al-Balagha. He says, if the news that has reached me about you is haqq, then la shas'u na'lika wa jamalu ahlika khairu minka. If the news that has reached me is true, is haqq about you, he did the corruption in Baitul Mal, gave it to his family members. Imam Ali says, if this news that reached me is haqq, then the lace of your shoe and the camel of your family, just like today you have your family car standing in your driveway, isn't it right? So in those days, people had a camel for the family standing in their house. That's the camel of the family. So Imam Ali says, the camel of your family and the lace of your shoe is better in my eyes than you. This is how Imam Ali deals with those who are doing corruption about the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zero tolerance towards the justice of God. This is why people have been opposing Imam Ali alayhi salam. Not because of any oppression. He's not zalim, he's masoom. But we are not ready to embrace the adl of Ahlul Bayt. So when we are waiting for Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, we should be actually preparing ourselves to embrace the justice of God. Am I ready to listen to all the nahi anil munkar and amr bil ma'roof from the imam of my time and all the alertings that he can do towards me upon all the harams that I may be doing in my life? Am I ready to embrace that sort of justice?
This is what Shaheed Mutahhari rahmatullah alayhi has said. If there are people among the followers of Imam Ali, if they see Imam Ali the way he was, they would deny. This is not the Ali we have been believing. People are not ready to embrace justice. That's why people have been fighting against Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Why in the world people fought a battle against Imam Ali when he was masoom? Because they opposed, they wanted favors. Imam Ali is not ready to give them favors.
So we find that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari is the governor of Kufa, and when the time of Battle of Camel happened, he was supposed to rally the people in the favor of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He is the governor on behalf of Imam Ali alayhi salam,
and rally the people against the Ashab of Jamal,
the people of the Battle of Camel.
He didn't do that. Instead, his stance was that those people are also Ahlul Qibla. These people are also Ahlul Qibla. They both follow the same Qibla. And they are all, in other words, Muslims. And they are both Muslim. He's also good. He's also good.
That's how some people say, you know, everybody's okay. He's also okay. He's also okay. Everybody's okay. Just leave it upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't judge. Another wrong that penetrated into Muslim community from the kufr. They don't judge.
So we find in Islam we have to judge. Every now and then we have to judge. That's how we define our life and apply the rulings of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar.
So we find Imam Ali al-Salam sends a letter to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari that فَإِنْ حَقَّقْتَ فَانْفَزْ. In other words, if you have decided, researched and settled the fact that Amir al-Mu'mineen is on haq, and those people of the Battle of Camel, they are on batil, fanfuz.
Then you implement and execute it. وَإِنْ تَفَشَّلْتَ. And if you are lazy about it, that means you failed to do the desired research to come to the proper decision. You failed to do that and you are lazy about it.
فَبْعُدْ. Get off the position. That means leave the position vacant for somebody who deserves it. And after writing that decisive and qati' statement against Abu Musa, he says that innahu lahaqqun ma'a muhaqqin.
This is a haq statement, and it is going to be, this policy is going to be enforced by the person who is following the haq. Imam Ali is going to enforce that policy, in other words. وَمَا أُبَالِي مَا يَصْنَعُ الْمُلْحِدُونَ. I don't care what the zindiq and agnostic people are doing. Those who have nothing to do with Allah. What do they do? I don't care. Imam Ali, in other words, is ready to go alone and stand over the haq. Doesn't care about what the rest of the people do and say.
Now we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam is and at the time when at the time of the government of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab, the adornments, zevar, majuhurat, curtain, other adornments and zenith of the Kaaba, the discussion came that why are we here to spend the money on the Holy Kaaba? Why, somebody said to Umar ibn al-Khattab, why don't you just sell out all this stuff, adornments of the Kaaba, and better equip your soldiers? That's a better service for Islam, isn't it right? So why we are spending the money on the adornments of Kaaba? Umar was convinced, he agreed, but then he thought, let me take an advice from Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he did. And when Imam Ali alayhi salam was asked for his advice, he said that in the time of you know, Quran was revealed on the messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah in the Quran has divided the wealth into four categories. Irs, the inheritance, fa', which is another type of the money, and khums, and sadaqat and zakat. And at the time of the revelation of Quran, the adornments of Kaaba were there. Allah did not forget those. Isn't it right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not unaware about that. It was not hidden from Allah's knowledge, in other words. So Allah left the adornments the way they were. So you also leave it the way they are. And Allah got so much convinced with that statement of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that he says, which is narrated in the history, that Umar said, "Lawlaka laftadhahna." If you were not there, we would have been insulted. So we need to understand that there, you know, there are people who talk about why are they spending so much on the dharih of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam? Why are they spending so much on the dharih of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam? Isn't it right? Everything that we find in the life of Imam Ali has as a practical lesson for us to implement on today's life. Why are we doing what we are doing? There are reasoning behind that. We find Anas ibn Malik at the time of the Battle of Kamal. The Prophet has said in his hadith to Talha and Zubair, "Satuqatilani Aliyan wa antuma lahu zaliman." Soon you two are going to fight against Ali while you two are zalim towards Ali. Prophet said to Talha and Zubair. And at the occasion of the Battle of Kamal, Imam Ali asked Anas ibn Malik, who is a very elderly companion, that tell this hadith to them, in other words. And he knew the hadith, but he hid the hadith intentionally, doesn't want to harm his relation with Talha and Zubair. Lots of people know there are people doing haram in the community, in the society, isn't it right? But they want to maintain their relation with the haram doers. Is Imam Ali like this? That he would maintain his relation, even the person is doing haram, but we still have good relations with them? That's how some people are doing, getting along with those kinds of so-called friends, even though they are harming the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, but they are, it's okay, I don't want to harm my relation. My wife gets along with his wife better. My children play with his children in their place. Imam Ali asked Anas bin Malik to bear witness about the hadith in front of them, and he hit the fact and haq and said, "I don't remember." Look at what Imam Ali is. He doesn't leave this battle to be left unnoticed. Look at what Imam Ali al-Islam said to Anas bin Malik. "In kunta kadhiban," if you are lying about it, in other words, "fadharabaka Allahu biha bayda'a lami'a la tuwariha al-imama." If you are lying, Allah inflicts upon you a white. That means the illness of baras and leprosy. May Allah inflict upon you the illness of leprosy, in other words, which your amama will be unable to hide it. Now that this guy is hiding the haq, you deserve to end up having an illness that you are unable to hide. And as soon as Imam Ali said it, he ended up having baras and leprosy, and then onwards for the rest of his life, he used to wear niqab, like a burqa, over his face in the community. This is how Imam Ali al-Islam was so firm to deal with these category of people who are hiding the haq in the community. That's another lesson for us to understand what should be the policy towards these people. So we find bunch of Jews came to Imam Ali alayhi salam. This Jewish guy came when he saw the episode of Saqifa. Imam Ali's haq and right has been usurped and taken away by the people of Saqifa meeting. Isn't right? His khilafat is gone. This Jewish guy noticed, and he comes to Imam Ali alayhi salam being sarcastic. "Oh, so you people started to have this kind of controversy, in other words, among yourselves. Look at, you know, Imam, if there was a person who is simple-minded, deceived by shaitan, he would have been trying to side with a non-believer, bring him on his side, and let us bring him on my side to battle against my opponents in the government. Is that the way Imam Ali operates with the non-Muslims? Then we bring them on our side, so we start increasing in our support against our political opponents. Is that the way he operates towards non-Muslims?" Look at what Imam Ali said to that Yahudi.
He did not take any help. He instead, you know, Imam Ali actually blasted upon him. Imam Ali says, إِنَّمَا اِخْتَلَفْنَا عَنْهُ لَا فِيهِ. We disputed about the teaching of the Holy Prophet, not about the Prophet himself. Whereas you are the guys who actually disputed about the Prophet himself. In other words, when your Prophet went on the, when Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, we know, he went to the Mount of Tur, he comes back, and then, you know, when he crosses the water, and they reach on that side, and these people, Hazrat Musa went on Tur, this his children of Israel found a nation worshipping idols on that side of the water. Prophet Musa, when he comes back from the Mount Tur, these people demanded from him, اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة. Quran says, make us a Lord just like these people, this nation have lords. They are worshipping idols. Hazrat Musa replied them, innakum qawmun tajhalun. You are ignorant people. So Imam Ali didn't accept to take any help or start supporting that Yahudi. Instead, Imam Ali alayhi salam was ready to defend against that Yahudi and to keep him into his own limits. But there are people in our community who say, no, let us bring them to take a stand against the Wahhabis. Isn't it right? That's another very relevant policy that we are witnessing today in our communities. Let's bring them on our side to take benefit against the Wahhabis. So let's allow Imam Ali to define the policy of Islam.
Please say salawat. We find, and I'm coming very close to the end. Imam Ali sent Abdullah ibn Abbas before the Battle of Camel started. Zubair, you know, was convinced with the Itmam al-Hujjat. He is about to leave. Aisha asked him, where are you leaving? He said, I've never been as much unsure in my life as I am today to continue the battle. His son Abdullah ibn Zubair, Abdullah said, well, now that the swords are ready to clash with each other, now you are leaving us alone? You cannot leave, in other words. And upon the deception of his own son Abdullah, Zubair stays in the battlefield and he dies. He dies. And now we find that when this is what happens, so look at the statement of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He says that ma zala Zubair rajulan minna ahl al bayt. Zubair continued to be one of us ahl al bayt hatta nasha'a ibnuhu al mash'um Abdullah, until his manhus son Abdullah was born.
So we are not supposed to allow our children, our spouses, to take us to hell. Sometimes our children and spouses are misleading us towards the hellfire. Let's be very careful, just like Abdullah did towards Zubair.
We find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he finds all those discrepancies in the Baytul Mal, when he got the Khilafat at the end, we find he said, I'm going to wallahi law wajadtuhu kad tuzawwaja bin nisabihi nisa aw mulika bihi al-ima la radadtuhu.
I swear to Allah, even if I find the money of the national treasury, people have used it for marrying the woman or purchasing the female slaves, I will still return it back to the national treasury. In other words, فَإِنَّ فِي الْعَدْلِ سِعَةً, because in adl and justice lies expansion. وَمَنْ ضَاقَ عَلَيْهِ الْعَدْلِ, whoever considers, whoever takes justice to be hard upon him, فَالْجَوْرُ عَلَيْهِ أَضْيَقُ, then zulm will be harder upon him. So he's not ready to, you know, to compromise over that at all. Fighting with the silly people in the community. They are silly, stupid, holy people pretending to be sacred and religious and pious, but they are silly. Just like Khawarij. Just like these stupid Taliban people. One of the best examples of Khawarij. So this person was reading the Holy Quran, Haruriya. Kumail is walking next to Imam Ali in the street in the middle of the night, and he hears this person in the house reading Quran. Amman huwa qanitun ana al-layli sajidan wa qa'iman. You know, this ayat of the Holy Quran. And Kumail said to him into his mind, how, what a nice person. In other words, this guy is away up in the night and reading Quran where the rest of the people are sleeping. Imam Ali read the mind of Kumail and said, this person belongs to Jahannam. Kumail was shocked. He's reading Quran. And after a very short time, Battle of Nahrawan happened. All of them were killed by Imam Ali alayhi salam, except 9 people ran away from the Battle of Nahrawan. Is that right? And we find Imam Ali took Kumail along with him and put his Zulfiqar, his sword, on the head of that person, Haruri, after he got killed, and recited the same ayat of Quran. أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا يَحْضَرُ الْآخِرَةَ. Oh, Kumail, oh, you're talking about that. He was the same person who was reading that ayat that night when I thought he's a religious person. Now I understand why you said he belongs to Jahannam.
So we find we cannot tolerate the simple-minded people who are considering themselves to be sacred and not performing their fariza towards the imam of the time. I would end it very soon because the time is almost over. So we find Imam Ali alayhi salam had recalled Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and I will end it here. Once Imam Mahdi alayhi salam was recalled by Imam Ali, and he says, "La ta'tifanna dunya alayna."
He remembered his son Mahdi alayhi salam. Imam Ali says, "La ta'tifanna dunya alayna ba'da shimasiha atfad darusi ala waladiha." Soon dunya, this world in other words, will become soft upon us after its wild behavior. You know, just like in a, you know, there's a camel is wild, or a horse is wild, you make it tame. Isn't it right? أَطْفَدْ دَرُوسِ عَلَىٰ وَلَدِهَا.
When there's a camel which is ready, it's saving its milk. If somebody wants to milk the camel doesn't want to give the milk because the camel wants to save the milk for its own baby. This human wants to take the milk away from him, from the baby. So the camel runs away from him. This is an example Imam Ali gives about dunya. That this, just like that camel which protects its milk from getting milked by some human being, this dunya which is running away, this government which is not coming into the hands of Imam Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, soon this dunya is going to become soft after its wild behavior. Just like the Dharus camel that runs away from getting milked by the human, after a while gets tame, you know, comes under control.
So he remembers about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and then he recited this ayat of Holy Quran. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ, which is for Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam. So now I would end my speech on this dua, and I would like to request all of you respectable brothers and sisters to please read this dua along with me, which is related to the misaq and covenant that the souls of every person has did in the Alamul Arwah with the walayat of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam. Alhamdulillah alladhi akramana bihadha al-yawm wa ja'alana min al-mufina bi ahdihi ilayna wa misaqihi الذي واثقنا به من ولايته ولاة أمره والقوام بقسطه ولم يجعلنا من الجاحدين والمكذبين بيوم الدين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين.
اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Thank you.